Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin in verse 20 in just a moment. I want you to remind you that, you know, these 58 verses, we covered the first 19 last Sunday, which is the resurrection of Christ. This morning, verses 20 through 58, we're going to look at the believer's resurrection, or our resurrection, if you will. And this is pure doctrine, okay? I mean, just pure doctrine, but we need to hear it. We need to learn about it. You know, this is the most in-depth teaching in the entire Bible on the doctrine of the resurrection. And it's so thankful that Paul included it, or God included it. Amen? And so as we look at this morning, you know, we want to start off with a question that Job asked. Remember in Job 14:14, he said this, "If a man dies, will he live again?" You know, isn't that a universal question in every generation? We ask it, you know, before we came to Christ, what happens after death? What happens is that it? Is it all over with? Well, the Bible tells us, I pray that you hold on to these divine truths, because death doesn't touch us. Death should not frighten us. Amen? Very important. Our Savior defeated death. Now, it's not inoperative yet, but one day it will be, as we will understand here. You know, Jesus said in what, John 11:25, to Mary Martha, he said, "I am, not I was, or I might be." He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." Listen, resurrection is more than a doctrine. Resurrection is a person. When you're on your deathbed, like President Bush was, you know, and they were talking, you know what they were talking about? They were talking about Jesus. They were talking about heaven, that he was about to enter heaven. They weren't talking about a doctrine. They were talking about a person. Without Jesus Christ, there is no life. There's only death. Amen? But oh, thank God, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me shall never, never die." He says to Mary and Martha, and to us as well, "Believest thou this?" You know what she said, "Yea, Lord, we believe that that you are the Christ." Amen? Listen, we have a Savior. So when we think about the believer's resurrection, when we die, we are all going to die, okay, one day, unless the rapture, the catching away of the church occurs. Now, how are we as believers, when we die, how are we raised up? And are we guaranteed? Does the Word of God promise us and guarantee that we will be raised up? So this morning, let's look at the believer's resurrection, beginning in verse 20. Paul writes, and he says this, "But now Christ is risen from the dead." Now, that's a fact. We know that. We proved it last week, but we don't have to prove it. It's just true. Amen? And not only that, look what Jesus became. It says he has become the first fruits, meaning at the moment of his resurrection, Jesus became the first fruits of those who have died or fallen asleep. You'll notice that in Scripture, the word asleep is always used for a believer, never for the lost, okay? And so here, first fruits. Remember, first fruits followed Passover. If you study out Leviticus chapter 23, I believe it starts probably in verse 10. Remember how there they would take the first part of, or sheaf of the grain of the wheat or whatever, and they would do a wave offering before the Lord. Remember, they would wave it this way, and then they would wave it this way. What does that form? The cross. And the priest would do that, but it was the first ripened part of the harvest, okay? Now, what that was symbolizing was, here's the first part, but you know what? Here are the first fruits. And you always gave the best to the Lord, the first fruits. But he said, but the priest would say, but look here, the rest is out there, it's in the field, and it's ready to be harvested because it's of the first part. Are you following me? So when we look at that, Jesus is the first fruits, but he's the first fruits of the whole harvest, meaning us, which is yet to come. So Jesus was the first one ever raised from the dead. No one else has ever been raised from the dead, never to die again. Lazarus died again. Amen. The widow of Nain, her son, did he die again? Absolutely. So Jesus is the first fruits. He's the first one that came out of the dead with a glorified body. And loved one, we have that guarantee because we are part of the first fruits, are part of the harvest. We share in that together. So Jesus crucified on Passover and then raised on first fruits, which was, of course, Sunday. Now, for since by man, meeting Adam, came death. What a sad thing. Death. You know, he believed the devil, didn't he? Oh, and it says, and also by man, you see the capital M there, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam, every person in Adam is going to die, of course. And so also in Christ, or so in Christ, all, meaning all who have been born from above, that's not a universal salvation, okay? It's only those who are saved shall be made alive. Every person in every generation has asked that question that I started with. Why must we die? Did you know that the Bible is the only book in mankind's history that gives us the answer as to why a man dies? Oh, there's all kinds of fairy tales. There's all kinds of myths. But we die because of Adam's sin, don't we? You know, listen, loved one, by one man, not only sin and death entered the human race. We're all from Adam. That's why we were born in sin. We were born physically or spiritually dead, if you will. We have to be born from above. But not only that, we've never lived, any of us or any person that's ever been born, we have never lived without, in any part of the planet, a graveyard, a cemetery. Death is everywhere. People die every day. Listen to me, loved one. The Bible is so precious. I pray that you cherish the Word. I pray that you hold it dear to your heart, for it is the only book in all of the world's history that is not from this planet. It's from heaven. Do you understand? This book is God-breathed, and it came down from the Father of lights. Amen? Oh, listen, this is a holy book. This is God's word to mankind. But each one, it says, about the resurrection, watch this now, in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. So the harvest, the resurrection, comes in stages, loved one. It doesn't happen all at once. The catching away of the church, it says those who are dead will rise first, and then we will be follow them. And then it says also about the first resurrection found in the book of Revelation, about the martyred tribulation saints, and then the second resurrection, which no one wants to be a part of that. That is the lost of all ages who stand before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. No one who has died is dead. Everyone is alive someplace, okay? Now, it says in verse 24, but then, or after that, the thing I just read, the scripture, then comes the end of the church age, the end of the age. That'll be after the rapture, after the great tribulation period, at the end of the millennial reign. Okay, it says, when he, meaning Jesus, delivers the kingdom of God to the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and all power. That's visible, that's invisible. That means that every enemy of God will be forever abolished and never to exist again, and Jesus delivers and gives a restored planet, if you will, and everything to God the Father. It says, for he must reign till he's put all the enemies under his feet. And that happens in the 1,000-year reign. And the last enemy that will be destroyed is what? Man, you know, Revelation 20, what, 17, I believe it is. No, 2014, I think. And I could be wrong. But we see death cast into the lake of fire. Amen. You will witness, I will witness, whatever death really is. Death is such a mystery, isn't it? I mean, Adam, when he left the garden, he died spiritually, but we don't quite understand it all, do we? What death looks like, we look, that's a coffin, he's dead. No, death is, what is death? Whatever it truly is, the depth of death, We're going to witness it. It's going to be cast there into hell forever. For he says he's put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, the exception, of course, is God the Father. Jesus has all authority in heaven and upon earth. Amen? Okay. Now, when all things are made subject to God, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him. And here's the reason, that God may be all in all, meaning that God, the sovereign ruler, God himself, is now all in all. He is over all things once again. Amen? Even though he's in control, don't get me wrong, but then it's all over with. Now, that moment when that happens, oh, listen, when Jesus turns the kingdom, we'll be with him, turns the kingdom over the Father, the end of the millennial reign, after the great white throne judgment, after the devil and death and the beast and the false prophet and all those who loveth and make a lie and all those who are lost at the great white throne judgment are cast into that horrible place of torment forever and ever. Somehow, some way, we step into, in Revelation 21 and 22, we step into the eternal state. You know, when we do so, let me just read. Listen carefully. I love this. We're going to see this. It says, "And I saw a new heaven, and I saw a new earth. For the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea." And John says, "I saw the holy city coming down." And it says, "I saw heard a loud voice saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" No more sorrow, no more death. Listen to this. And he said, "He showed me a pure river of water, the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of the street, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life with the 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations." And it says, "And we shall see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night, no need for the lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever." Loved one, that is your future. Amen.